And guess what, folks? I think we are back.
Without an echo.
We have reset two different computers. We've killed Skype three times, and we've pretty much put such a hex on Blog Talk that they will never, ever, ever be mean to us again. So now,
holy moly, that's 20 minutes of dead air.
20 minutes of dead air. 20 minutes of some...
That's okay. Mark can splice and piece it together.
Yeah, I can splice and dice, and you name it, we're going to do it. So here we are, back on the air, 47 minutes left to go. There is no echo. You know what? I think it's we didn't have the tinfoil hats on. We were talking about the UFOs.
I'm telling you, it's because we were doing UFOs this week, skulls last week,
and
it booted us out both times.
You know, what a great conversation to miss out on. It missed out on your thing, it missed out on my thing. Charlie was about to say
something,
too.
No, they just heard it three times in a row.
They just heard it. Well, I know, we heard Dana.
They had no idea what we were talking about.
I know, man. Well, we do apologize for that. Somewhere along the line, I think Blog Talk was giving us the old schnickering there.
Somewhere along the line, we'll repeat.
Yes, we will
repeat. We'll repeat our UFO. But we do have Dana and Vera that have some stories.
Yeah, but they got to call back in, though, right? They hung up on
us.
They know. So, you know what? Let's do it. Let's start over
from
the beginning.
No, they're calling in now.
They're calling in right now. Okay, so we're not going to start from the beginning. We're going to go straight to them.
Let's
hear
some cool stories.
I know. We're going to hear some cool stories. There were some cool stories going on off the air. We did have some quite some good conversations up there. But as we wait for some more people to call in, we'll get them going with some cool stories. But do you have any UFO stories, personal stuff?
My own personal stuff?
Yep.
I remember when I was young, I've told this one a few times, Canisteo Road isn't far from here on off of Route 23, and we heard about, sightings on that road, but right there on 23, right off of it, you know, I had a friend who was driving their car in the middle, probably like 2 o'clock in the morning with her friend, and the car just stopped in the middle of the road, like just went,
cool.
And they were just sitting in it, and all of a sudden they saw this thing in the sky above them, and they were like immobilized, and they were afraid. They didn't know what to do. They didn't get out of the car. They didn't know what to do, and they were like literally just closed their eyes and were like, "Oh my god!" And then all of a sudden they saw it. Well, first of all, they were like, "Do you see what I see?" And then they just saw it go like it just disappeared,
and then
the car was running again, and. And there was, like, a bit of time. Like, time had stood still. So, that's, like, right in our backyard, pretty much.
You have Picatinny Arsenal right down
there.
Right up here.
Yeah, you know, Picatinny Arsenal had some stuff there, too.
Clinton Road, there's a lot of strange stuff going on. Vera and Dana, are you here through the magic of technology?
Yes, we are.
Yes, you are. Tell us your story.
I know. Hopefully it won't repeat 37 times this time.
Well, you wanted to make sure you got the point across.
You were talking about Roswell, New Mexico, and thinking it was the Russians, I believe, the last time or something. But during that time, there was also the story that they had moved the debris and maybe the dead bodies up to the Strategic Air Command base in outside Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And at that, I was in high school, and I had been invited to it was around Thanksgiving, like an outdoor bonfire by a friend of mine that went to college, and it was like about, 10 or 15 miles from the Strategic Air Command base in Ohio, and we're sitting around a bonfire, doing the marshmallows and all that kind of stuff, and we're looking at the sky. It's an extraordinarily clear sky, and in the distance you can see the lights from Columbus, and you can see the jets taking off at the Strategic Air Command base. We're looking at the sky, and we notice these lights, this series of lights, and they're like, they stop, they do squares, they do the strangest formations we'd ever seen, and everybody said, "Did you see that?" We're all looking at that. We're watching these lights do the strangest things. And then we saw the jets take off from the SAC base with their afterburners on. And these lights went up for a little bit, and then they shot out into the sky, and the jets looked like they were turtles. They looked like they were moving in slow motion compared to what these lights were. And it was like, we were thinking, I was like, and that was a long time ago. Yep. And we think, you know, in hindsight, it's like there was been a lot of activity over that area because they think a lot of them, like I said, the debris was moved from Roswell to there, to one of their big hangars, to examine everything. So, you know, from time to time, there's been a lot of activity over that area. So, you know, I don't have a lot of stories, but I do remember that one as quite distinctive.
Well, with things like that, I always wondered how much of it is us and how much of it is it not us? Because you look back, in the first Gulf War, or right when we attacked Panama, all of a sudden, you know, the government says, oh, we get this cool stealth fighter. The old triangle, the Nighthawk one, the black one. Mm. That thing started being built in the 70s with a program called Pave Blue. Now, all in the Nevada area, people are seeing all these weird triangle-shaped planes and don't know what it is. Hey, guess what? We had this back in the 70s. Can you imagine just what's being tested right now?
Mm-hmm. That's what Charlie was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think so. But at this point, this is like late 60s, and the fastest jets they had looked like they were standing still.
Yep.
And nothing could move that fast at that time. I'm absolutely positive. The difference between the speeds of the two different kinds of aircraft or lights, the lights versus the aircraft, was just made your mouth drop open, you know. And it's like, if we are the, one of the premier plane builders in the world, which I think we are, I don't think that was a test. That was the jets scrambling. They were scrambling after the thing, you know. So it was definitely not a test plane from someplace else or one of our test planes. I mean, there's no way, no way. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, no way that it was. And then there's been lots of reports of activity over that area too. You know, like a lot of the other military bases.
Yeah, I've always found it interesting that right around the 50s and 60s, when the whole nuclear power was taken over, and the SAC is taken over, we're arming ourselves. That when I think it was Nixon and Khrushchev, when they were doing their nuclear arms talks, they actually included a segment in there about UFOs. Whereas they were having issues with these UFOs, they didn't know what it was, coming over the bases, and all the equipment started going haywire, like it's being taken over. Now, you're at a missile base, all of a sudden something flies over, you have no idea what it is, you know, it's the 50s, you're American, paranoia, you automatically think it's the Russians, next thing you know, somebody's hitting a button. So it's funny that Nixon, and I believe it's Khrushchev, actually had this thing set in their treaty saying, if you have unidentified things flying over your base, call us, and we'll let you know if it's our spy planes, because we do not want a war started because of UFOs.
Mm. Yeah, but they're supposed to be coming to help us. They're not, or so we've heard.
Well, now they are.
Now they are.
Yeah. Then, who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah.
You know, Soylent Green, they were looking for,
it's people.
Yeah.
Like we were talking before, when we had the echo, you know, look at things where we're talking aliens among us.
Mm-hmm.
With the reptilians. Reptilians, we said, we're shapeshifters. One thing they can shift into is the shape of us. Manipulate governments, create policy, to make things work for them. You know, start up all these industrial nations, pollute the air, kill the ozone, melt the ice caps, make the place hot and humid for them.
Boy, you're really piling it on thick. I'm thinking they would just come in here for a bachelor party.
You better be hoping there aren't any aliens.
They would just come in here for a bachelor party, you know, shape-shifting and sitting there saying, hey, guess what, I got lucky, you know?
Yeah, now I gave them a job to do. Well, I have to keep my mind open to all aspects of thoughts. You know, it could be a great thing. It could be this. It could just be us doing it, but who knows?
Well, how about the idea that they came here and some actually mated with some of the people here?
That's hot.
Well, no. Slow down. We're not going that fast.
Let's not go there.
The idea here is that it increased the IQ of people because of, them basically using their genetics with us. And, I mean, you sit there and you say, well, gee, there are always spurts of great ingenuity and brains and knowledge. But you sit there and say, sometimes it just goes way beyond. And you sit there and say, well, gee, go ahead, Bree.
There was
Dana Bree.
Yeah, when they talk about the Cro-Magnon man and the prehistoric man, there was a giant leap between prehistoric man and the next phase of prehistoric man. And it's like there was nothing that was accountable for it that anybody could even see. All of a sudden there was this one group, and then all of a sudden there was another group that was so far ahead of them that it's surmised, speculated that maybe there was an outside influence there at that time.
What was the catalyst?
The aliens coming were the catalyst. I mean, they're the ones that came in and added their genetic code to another group of people so that they could expand.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with that. Only for the fact that I think it's possible, but if they were that far ahead, you know, in knowledge and IQ and everything else, I couldn't see them doing it with the caveman. I mean, you know, that's nasty. I mean, think about it.
Not that way. I mean, you can manipulate through bloodlines and things like that. Oh, I mean, look where stories where people are taken up and tests are done.
Yeah.
Things look like they're actually being impregnated.
Yeah.
It could be something like that.
That's true, too.
Yeah,
that's true.
You're not talking about a UFO coming down, opens up, and the whole thing is shag. On the inside.
Wow.
Exactly.
No.
But
this is not an alien restaurant.
Hey, we don't know that.
Anything is possible. Keep your mind open to it.
Anything's open.
But
hey, is Vera there? Are you there with Vera, or is she gone?
No, I'm here.
Vera, speak up. Come on, Vera. We want to hear from you, too.
No, my only story is one that I've told you before, because I lived in Ringwood on Stonetown Road, which is over the reservoir, which is supposed to be a hot spot. And I think it was back in 67 there was a big thing that if you Google it, I think they had the 19th anniversary of it in January, but of some alien ships being sighted. But the one that I saw was when I moved in there about 20 years ago, and I'm driving up Stonetown Road, and I get to the top of the mountain, and as I crest the hill, I see like a triangular shaped darkness that's darker than the sky, and it had round lights in it, kind of like one at the point and then two or three down each side. So it looked kind of like not a boomerang, but certainly a triangle. And I opened the window, I put my head out, I'm looking at it, felt like I could almost touch it, couldn't hear anything. So I race home and I drag Dave out of the house and I put him in the car and I'm, come on, we have to go. And I back up, I back over our lamp that we had in the front yard with my big truck, and I go down and we go running to the dam, and there wasn't anything there, you know. But I know what I saw, and I had no idea there were any kind of sightings before that, so it wasn't like I knew it was a hot spot, and I certainly didn't know that there were triangular shaped UFOs. I always thought everything was round like a saucer, so it wasn't that I was imagining it to fit some stereotype that I had knowledge of. I really didn't. I just saw something I'd never seen before. So that's
Vera, Vera, was that before the dam or after the dam?
It was after, but not that long after the dam.
Right after the dam was built, like?
Right.
Okay, because I'm up here 16 years, and I remember the dam being built when my sister was still over in Greenwood Lake, and we'd come up that way. And, so I had a couple of her neighbors. Some of her neighbors there were talking about that, almost like that same night you're talking about over there by where the dam was, or is, I should say. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think the fact that there was no motor sound was really kind of perplexing to me, you know. I just wish I'd pulled over and watched it, but I ran home to get my husband, and then I don't know where it went. So that was what happened there.
You said Dave saw it?
Dave did not see it. In fact, we're in the car, and he goes, so what did the little men say to you? You know?
How you doing?
I know. He's like, you know how patient he is when things are going wrong. He's really good, but, you know.
Didn't he realize you just wanted to get him out in the car on a dark night?
Right. Yeah. He was very funny. You know, he's like, so what did the little men say? You know, and I'm like, not funny, not funny.
They were there.
That's very cool.
Keep the camera handy.
Yeah.
Well, before, I don't
think we have cameras on our phones. It's different.
I was going to say, I don't even know if I had a cell phone that long ago.
No way.
You know, it was one of those things, but it stuck in my mind. So,
and you'll never forget
it. And I'll never forget it, that's for certain. I'd love it to happen again, actually.
Well, remember what Jane was saying with the clear crystal skull? That's something they look for. That's the beacon. So keep a clear crystal skull with you, and maybe I'll be reading about you.
And I have one upstairs, so there you go.
You can attach one to the hood of your car.
There you go.
At night, though, do you put it on Dave's side so they go for him first?
No. they'd be afraid of him, so that's
true.
I know.
They want to learn from somebody. I got nothing to tell you.
I know. You should have seen him last night. He had a plenty last night, but he's, you know, he's not in tonight. He's out doing guess what, playing the guitar.
He's the guitar himself.
There you go. So
he has plenty of stories from being on the job, but he's not here to talk about them.
What is? Do you keep current on UFO cases, or do you study any older stuff?
You know, it's funny. I'm always watching that stuff on TV, and it was funny. Dana, as we were driving to where we were supposed to go for this meeting tonight, she said, you know, I'm going to subscribe to some news feeds so I can keep current on this kind of stuff. And I was like, that's a good idea. Because I don't know what's going on. I'm watching stuff on TV, and you know, by the time it gets to TV, it's old news. So maybe news feeds are what we need to do to keep up on.
Because I'm
later.
Sure there's stuff happening all the time, and we just
submitted into MUFON.
There's
and stuff.
Always stuff happening all the time.
I thought a news feed subscription, just you know, fine tuned to pick up that kind of stuff might be interesting.
Last year, off the West Coast, they had that strange. Some people say it was a rocket, but nobody was shooting it. They weren't shooting it from the test range out there. But it was over California, and they had it was around nighttime. They had, and it just looked like this. I can't explain it. But remember when jets go fast, and you'll see the vapor trail come off the side just when they're about the sound barrier. It was that. It was constantly rising, way, way, way off in the West Coast, and it was big news for about a week or so. Then it kind of disappeared. And there was an issue with weird spiral lights over in Sweden and Finland about 2 or 3 years ago, which is pretty prevalent on YouTube.
I'm very impressed with your knowledge of the area.
I always loved these growing up. My father always got me into them. He had a story where he was in Nevada, and he saw his first and only UFO, and he saw one of the cigar-shaped ones, a long cigar shape.
Oh, yeah.
He said he just watched it just kind of silently just go right over them. I mean, there wasn't anything with, like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind when everything's shaking, but he said, just watched it. And they just stopped and get out of the car and look, and there it is, just nice and quiet, passing through, doing its own thing. But unfortunately, all the things I've seen, I've actually been able to figure out what it was. So as cool as it was at first, after, like, kind of digging into it and, you know, doing the whole research on it and figuring it out, it ended up, you know, being something human-made. So nothing too exciting on that.
They had recent ones in, like, South Jersey, like Long Branch and Kearney, and like this year,
yeah,
and last year there's been a bunch of ones, but I know there was one I want to say Ringwood or Ridgewood,
maybe
was 2014.
Yeah,
I know there's been some stuff on the crop circles in that I did here in Italy and Canada this year, this month.
With me in the crop circles, people have actually come out and said, hey, I've made these myself, and show how they've made them. So when I see crop circles, it's very leery. You know, I want to think it's something cool.
Yeah, but they do testing on them, and some of the chemicals and stuff that are on there aren't ones that would be from something somebody could do.
Yeah.
So it depends on – they have to do a lot of testing on them to see what they're – because some of them, it's impossible. The shape that they are, you know, especially if you're looking at it from above – you know, for somebody to have done them. So, yeah, there are ones that were done. I mean, there are a lot of hoaxes on those.
Yeah, that's what the – I mean, when you look at this, even when we go to them, you want to say, I really want it to be this, but when you want it to be something so bad, that's what you make it. So now when I see these UFO stories, I start, okay, what can it not be? Or what's an obvious thing for it? And then I start eliminating it that way. Like, remember, when I was away, we had the one thing right up by me. People were saying, oh, we saw lights in the sky, and we saw a beam come down over by where we are, the State Park. Yep. So I looked at the date, and I said, okay. I said, looking at the things, and I'm looking at what people are posting. And, you know, obviously it's going to be this type of UFO because of this configuration. I'm saying, well, slow down. Let's backtrack a little bit. Made some phone calls. On that night, around that time, there was a medevac that was dispatched to the area. Right in the area where they saw it was a medevac landing point. What happens, some of these helicopters that come in are extremely quiet because they are landing in residential areas. They are doing it at night, so they try to keep it somewhat civil. And now some of them have the nice infrared scopes, and some of them don't. Sometimes they actually do have to put on a spotlight and a searchlight to see what they're looking at. So put one and one together, made some phone calls, figure out what time the medevac was, and that's what it is. But, I mean, that's all part of UFO investigation. Not everything is going to be little green men. And the fact that you're finding out that it's not little green men, that's just as good because you're investigating something. You're figuring out the problem.
Well, Pine Bush is be a real hot spot too, you know.
What was
up
that?
In New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went online, and they had a big UFO fair on April 26th.
Oh,
so,
cool.
I mean, I think the title of it was Pine Bush, New York's UFO Capital or Not. So I didn't know about it because obviously I didn't get the memo down here, but you know, there's stuff going on all over.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot in our area too. So,
well, you look at the mass sightings. You have Mexico City. There is stuff flying all around. Volcanoes, Fukushima, when that was going off, there were sightings in that area right before that happened. Back in the early 50s, you had mass sightings over Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
Some things can be explained, some things can't. You had, what was it, 1942, you had the Battle of Los Angeles, which some people might think is that movie that came out with What's-His-Face a couple years ago. But the Battle of Los Angeles initially was, they thought there was a UFO over Los Angeles, right World War II, right after Pearl Harbor, and there was this massive anti-aircraft barrage trying to shoot down this UFO. True story was, there's actually a pilot that was off course, and he spooked everybody out, the air raid guys. But, again, that's one of these things where, cool, we figured out what it was. We're doing our job.
There were ones, like, 5 minutes from here. Like, one sighting, they said, this just in January, over the slopes. I was telling you about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Where they said they saw, you know, some type of big ball of something over the slopes and over the ski slopes. So, I mean, I know there's been sightings in Orange County, obviously, at the fairgrounds and things like that, but just in our area recently, there have been a lot.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that, I mean, even people coming in here, they talk a lot about UFOs and things now because there have been so many, or so many unexplained things they've heard, like Bigfoot, who is supposed to be an alien to some people.
Well, if he's from Canada, he's an alien over here. He ain't resident, I'll tell you what.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I don't know. UFOs have always been seen in this area, so.
I love the old cases, and I love figuring out what it is. You know, I don't want to disprove it, but I love just figuring out getting to the bottom of it. But, all right, so I said I had a couple stories of stuff that turned out not to be UFOs, but it was pretty cool. It was a USO.
Do you know anybody who had any encounters? We know a few people
who
say they were sucked up by a UFO.
My father, from the story he had, again, me, all the stuff that I've seen, I've been able to tell myself or figure out or just kind of defer from what I've been seeing is, okay, it has to be this. There's nothing else it can be. It can be this. I mean, I've seen satellites going over the sky right around sunset, and I know that can be easily mistaken for things because I've mistaken it for a couple times until I'm like, okay, satellite's coming over around this time, and there it is. And when you see something like that, I mean, it looks like a shooting star, but slow. And sometimes it pulses, and it's just the sun reflecting off it, but where you are, it's already dark. So that's the cool thing. It's so high up, you still have that sunlight hitting it, that it's just this huge flash slowly moving across. Even small satellites at night can be mistaken for things, because you look at them and they're going the opposite way of what most of the planets are going. They're very dim, and sometimes as they pass through the stars, it actually looks like they jiggle sideways a little bit. But there are occasions where I have no idea what it is. I don't want to say it's a UFO because I can't physically say, okay, that's going to be a spaceship. I have no clue.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff, as I've seen it, where, like the USO instance, we were going through Hormuz, which is the narrow area between Oman and Iran, and we know how Iran likes to play shenanigans. My ship's going through. It's about maybe 2, 3 in the morning. It's nice and dark, and all of a sudden, everything around the ship gets bright. It's like a blue light emanating from the water. Now, I've been through phosphorescent algae. I've seen the tidal streams of the algae where you go, and you can see the bands and bands of different colors in the water at night, and it glows. I mean, you could read a book by it, and sometimes it's so bright. But this was not that. This was emanating out in all directions. It wasn't just behind the ship in the wake. So first thing I did is I called another credible source to get his butt up there and look at this and say, what am I seeing? Tell me you're seeing the exact same thing. Because one person seeing it is, all right. Two people seeing it, now you have a valid source. I went back, forgot about it. About a year or two later, I was reading a book, and I read a story that clicked and reminded me of this exact situation. They talked about submarine espionage, where these guys were actually going underneath ships and taking pictures of the hull to see if there's anything hidden underneath. And I asked some questions around, and apparently our good friends, the Iranians, were playing shenanigans with exactly doing that. So look at that, USO debunked, but still, it was pretty cool. And again, I want to know what it is. Let's dig into it. It's the heart of a UFO investigation.
Yeah, but it's better when you actually see the little thing coming down and
well, you look at it.
Beam down.
In essence, what is a UFO? An unidentified flying object. People just automatically going to lump it into, okay, you're going to be an alien spaceship. It's an unidentified flying object. So when you figure out, when you can say, okay, it is a spaceship, or it is an airplane, or it is, you know, a weather balloon with swamp gas with light refracting off of Venus, that's it. It's solved now. Ooh, my voice just cracked. I must be hitting puberty for a second time.
Yeah, but a lot of the stories we hear, or the famous encounters, mm-hmm. they weren't so pleasant.
Oh, no.
And I think
no.
that's why people are so afraid of the aliens, even though now they say, no, the ones that are coming are good, mm-hmm. or they don't mean any harm, they're here to help. But, like, every encounter you hear about isn't always pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, and the ones that end up on TV or in the media, they're usually the ones where they've had, you know, either the people disappeared completely, or they had an unhappy or traumatic experience. I mean, that's how the Fire in the
yep.
Sky one was.
Yeah, with Travis.
You know, and the one you were mentioning before, the...
Betty and Barney Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. When what scares me about some of these abductions or cases is where it's so bad that your memory is blacked out.
Yeah. Well,
either,
until they remember all the horrible parts.
Yeah. And that's the freaky thing. I mean, you're not supposed to remember that for... I would want to remember
I'd
that.
Rather not remember.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess when you're remembering, though, that... I mean, I think, you know, because they're so far advanced, you know, but, like, seeing what you're seeing in them, and they're all their stories are so similar. So, I mean, obviously, when somebody on one side of the world says one thing and somebody on the other side of the world, how could they both make it up?
Exactly.
If they didn't know, you know, what each other had seen.
I mean, now, yeah, with communication so easy, but I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, you didn't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, you wrote somebody a letter 3 weeks later, maybe mm-hmm. you found out you had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly, you have so many cases that were coming out with the same scenario on it, you know, same type of face. I mean, and again, you had Betty and Barney Hill, they actually put out a star map, which they were able to backtrack and figure out now, like, hey, this thing would actually exist. There's no way they would have known about this back then. There's no way your mind can conjure this up.
But you brought up some good points about, you know, in the past, people being afraid, now people saying, well, they're coming to help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know. And I'm just wondering how afraid the governments will be if these things do land.
Well, of course.
And start talking or start communicating with us somehow. If they will attack, if they will lean back and wait, like in, you know, when Mars Attacks or whatever that movie was. Remember that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Don't run. We're your friends. And all of a sudden they start blowing people away. You know, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
How do we know what will happen? Well, should we be patient enough? Should we be the aggressor? We always are the aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
But should we be? It's going to be an interesting time. And, you know, will that be the second coming?
Yeah.
Will that be what everybody's waiting for? Will that be what basically was predicted, only in a different type of scenario?
See, I don't want to be in an episode of To Serve Man. That's my whole thing.
No, you don't want to be served.
That's,
no.
That's it, but I mean, it's a culture again, like you said. How would we accept this?
Mm.
I mean, right now, how many times in human nature has one country said to another, hey, we're here to help.
Mm.
And guess what?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just because that's what they're depicted. Like, I mean, have you heard any, like, positive stories? I mean, we've heard a few from some people we've met. But, I mean, the ones I see on TV, I don't think I've ever seen one good one.
Well,
no.
I don't know.
Some of them actually they're, like, scary.
Yeah, they are.
You know?
What would sell, a happy story or a bad story? What's going to get more people?
I don't think it matters. Like, what was the movie? I don't know if, are Dana and Vera still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know
yes.
if you guys know. What was that movie where the woman was the scientist and she did all, like, five or six different people in the movie? And it was a true story. And she went back and they were reliving their UFO abduction.
Well, there was the fourth kind.
Remember,
it was that one.
That was an all made up great. That was a whole thing. Like,
but it was based on something that was. There was something very similar to that. That was.
There were
like
shenanigans and abductions going on in an area.
And I don't think any of them were more of the positive side. So I don't know if any of you have heard of anything positive. It's just weird how they're depicted, and I think that's the problem. Go ahead.
It's positive if they're so strong and you saw them and nothing happened to you, then that's positive.
Right.
So you know what I'm saying? So like,
which we've met a few people that real people who said their experience was positive. It's just the ones they stick on TV, which is why people are afraid of them.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's what sells, you know. Murder and mayhem make the news. Happy times don't.
Yeah, but we've met people that say they had an abduction and they didn't feel like it was a bad experience.
Oh, no.
They didn't remember much about it, but they don't remember it being... They remember being told nothing was going to happen to them.
Yeah, the explanation of the hole in the side of their head wasn't exactly a bad thing, but, you know, it's just the fear of the unknown. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And if you were abducted and your mind was basically cleared of any memory, what does that make you think?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was an enjoyable experience, why would your memory be cleared?
If it was enjoyable, I mean, I would want other people... To remember,
I'd
want to
go every time.
I would. I'd surround myself with them crystal skulls and say, "Take me dearly."
Yeah, no, it's a tough situation to be in. You know, if you're abducted and they do tests on you, not unlike anybody in the United States. I mean, you know, we do tests on anything that we don't know.
Oh yeah,
we get in an alien. Guess what we do?
Oh yeah,
an autopsy.
The same thing. Exactly.
They're still alive. We're doing an autopsy anyway. So, I mean, how do you explain that?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. Jane said that they're coming and they're here to help. And, okay, you know, we're just going to have to sit there and wait.
Wait it out. Hope it's the right ones that are coming.
Hope it's the right ones that are coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, remember that, Star Trek?
Mm-hmm.
Where... Half of them had white on the left side and black on the right side.
Oh, yeah.
And the other half had black on the left side and white on the right side. And they hated each other.
Yep.
Because they had the colors on the wrong side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know which color they're going to be coming with, so.
Well, she says they're all good.
I mean.
Well, yeah, okay.
Humans don't even like each other. How are they going to like
something
foreign from them? I mean, that is just. We.
Yeah, but we do have, there are ones of us who are absolutely fascinated by UFOs. They want to have, you know, an encounter, which I know we've taught that in our classes, that you don't just walk up to some, you know, alien ship and think nothing's going to happen, you know, and you're going to get that close and think, you know, you're not going to be beamed up, but, you know,
man.
I don't know that I'd want to, you know, I'm not going to put myself out there.
No. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't be the first one on the plane, no.
I'm wearing that tinfoil hat.
I'm very interested in learning about them in that type of thing.
Colander on your head, right?
No. getting close to me.
Yeah.
But
do we have to do Pam now?
We got about 12 minutes left. We can hit Pam right at the end.
All right.
So we'll keep it going for a little bit.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else to throw in here?
Us? No.
Yeah.
Listening
the
with
Peanut Gallery.
Mm-hmm. What did she say?
We were listening with rapt attention. We were very interested.
Oh. Do you guys know anybody who, have you guys heard of anybody who's had an actual, encounter, or have you heard a story?
Not real. I haven't. I don't know if Dave has. Mm. How about you, Dana?
No, not really.
Yeah, the only ones I've heard of are people who, obviously we've met a few people that have had encounters, but the most ones I heard are when they were, either stopped in their car or actually saw it, where they lost power and things like that. Because that's usually what happens up here, even in our area.
I've heard of instances where audio feeds have been looping over and over and over again.
Oh, you mean last night?
Like tonight. I mean, here we go. We're starting up and things start getting funky again.
You know what gets me is if you go on vacation, and you go to a hotel, or you go here, or you go there, you pick up souvenirs,
mm-hmm.
okay? You always pick something up. All of these people that have been basically abducted, brought up to the spaceship, done whatever, not even one person grabs an ashtray. Not one ashtray.
Or a towel or something.
Or a towel or something, you know?
Oh, man.
Come on. Yeah. A shoe, yeah.
I want to grab a hat.
A loincloth, anything, you know?
I want to grab a hat from the UFO ship captain, the little bees on the name and everything. Get a T-shirt. I got abducted and all I got was a stupid T-shirt.
Yeah, but there are people that feel like we've had them and been working with them for years. Mm-hmm. We hear those stories.
Well, what about the people that come back and they're complaining of also an ailment in the leg? And for an X-ray, and they go, you got something in there. And pull out of
we
a weird-shaped metal. And
well, the one that said that there was a chip that somebody insisted. There was a person that had come in and had said that they had insisted they'd been abducted. And when they went to the doctor, they found a chip planted, in her head.
Wow.
And they couldn't get it out because of where it was actually planted, supposedly. At least that's what the story was. But we do hear things like that, where there's something. In fact, we had an investigation like that. Years ago, there was a woman that called us, and she had insisted her daughter that there was something alien going on. And she said that her daughter had fallen asleep with her phone on, talking to her friend, and her friend on the other end had heard these weird sounds coming through the phone, like what you would, how they depict aliens talking. Mm-hmm. And they said that they found, a chip. There was a chip, in her neck or something at some point when they did an X-ray on her. And her mother swore that she had been, abducted by aliens or something because of, what she heard. And at one point, she even played it back. The friend actually had it. The friend's parents heard the actual, what was actually going on the recording. And they're the ones who were like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound okay.
Wow.
So it's interesting how. And that was somebody who actually was calling in for more of the paranormal end, But it's interesting how so many people do hear about the chip thing.
Well, I don't know. I just want to see something. I don't want to so much experience.
Yeah, I agree.
Being taken
I'm
anywhere.
So you want a close encounter of the first.
Well, no. I want a far encounter.
First.
What I want to do is I want to sit out on the deck in the back
of
my house.
You want to learn about it, but you don't need to be right up.
Yeah.
Right up close and personal.
I want to look across the valley and I want to see something.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's the valley. That's
the valley. Across the valley.
You better put your skull on the other side of the house,
then. Interesting stuff on YouTube of sightings. One of them was, right in Israel. What was the place? And they've actually brought it back with biblical script, where it was something. It was hanging right over one of the temples, a very holy temple. And just hanging there, I was like, boop, gone, shoot straight up, and witnessed by so many people. Look up the lights that were over Sweden and Finland. It was just spirals in the sky of something going, huge spiral, and disappears and gone. And that is no way, any shape or form, is a meteor, because the meteors don't go up into a spiral and just completely disappear into nothing.
Did you see the one I put out there that I found the other day about the cloud? I think it was in Mexico. and it comes out of the cloud and goes back into the cloud.
That's cool. Oh, wow.
And this guy's going nuts. You know, he's going, oh, my God, Paulo. You know, he's speaking Spanish. And all of a sudden, you see, like, an explosion in the cloud, and you see these little lights, you know, like particles coming down that are on fire. And I'm sitting there going, okay, that's pretty hard to fake. Okay, I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty hard to fake.
Well, we live in the age of Photoshop, and kids can make anything now.
I guess, yeah.
It's not like how it used to be. You threw the hubcap in the sky and took a picture. Hey, here we go, and send it in.
Hubcap. Ah, that's a 48.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, that's true.
Who was the one man from? You guys remember this? He was from Sweden, where he actually with the Nordic aliens documented all his sightings and this and that, and he ended up being a huge hoax in the end. It was big in the 70s.
Yuri Geller.
Well, because a lot of times the Nordics were compared to the Swedes.
Yeah.
Remember?
But it's one of these things where he had these horrendously faked photos. You look at it and like, what spaceship would? I mean. The old Soyuz capsules can't even look like that. Come on. Give a little bit of effort here.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. Well, we're nearing the end of our show. We're getting all yawny and tired. And we figure half an hour of dead air will tire
anybody.
It's all
about exhaustion from Skype.
Paulie, more wine.
Man, exactly. Banging on computers. But for the last 2 minutes here, we're just going to give you guys a quick shout of Pam. Pam is a vendor and a friend of the show in the store for essential oils. They actually might have something in there that will fend off UFOs.
Yeah, aliens.
All right, enjoy.
Hi, this is Pam from Tell Them Pam Sent You. Here to talk to you about Young Living essential oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening. And people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living essential oils are among the top 4% in the world. Never cut with synthetic or additive.
Yeah, I think they're just going to go.
They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed to seal process.
You know what?
Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest. And don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure, free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information, Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's www.PamJordan.VibrantSense.com. And look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You.
Next week's show is going to be a little more fun, a little more interesting for us now. What's going to happen is we're going to do a little ghost hunting 101, give you the basics, maybe try your own ghost hunt out in your house there. So again, next week, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hopefully, without the blog talk-induced echo that we had so much fun with.
Yeah.
We will be there. Post haste and forthwith. All right, so thank you very much. Remember, tinfoil hats and keep the thoughts away from them. Watch the skies. If they're coming for you, happy thoughts. If they're gray, they're your friend. If they're green, stay away. So from
Charlie. Good. Jackie.
And Mark, have a great night. Have a great day. Have a great week. Have a great everything. And remember, they're coming.